It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 389. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me your questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show. And also Facebook, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. What I was going to do tonight changed because I had an experience with GoDaddy that I want to share with you. And I have some questions. I also have an additional hosting question about hosted exchange services. Then I have some email and I have some couple security flaws that I want you to be aware of. One that came up in the chat room in the pre-show tonight, and another one I received of a Wi-Fi security flaw that I received via email. So I want to share that. But I do have some questions that I have for you, so I'm looking for feedback that I'm going to share, and certainly we're going to dig deep into the hosting. But first, I want to wish everybody a happy new year, and thank you for joining me, and hopefully this 2012 will be a great year for you. I'm looking forward to it. 11 was, you know, wasn't so bad. Definitely would like to see an uptick in the economy. That would help us all from jobs, whether it be raises or if you're working for yourself, maybe some more clients. And for me, definitely more retainer clients that I'm looking for. Hopefully, it'll be a good year for everybody in the Mike Tech Show family. And with that, we continue with our sponsor, which we thank, which is Mosey Pro. And when it comes to running a successful business, there are many things you have to get right, like hiring good people, but one thing is often overlooked, and that's protecting the data that powers your business. Did you know that 12,000 laptops are lost or stolen at airports every single week? Businesses of all sizes and consumers use Mosey Pro to back up everything from emails, contacts, important documents, to family pictures and music. It's automatic and it works. One advertising executive's company lost an entire bank of servers, which nearly brought their business to its knees. Then he found Mosey Pro. He says, "I was shocked at how fast it works and their people know how to work with Macs." Mosey Pro business backup plans are affordable and there are no contracts to sign or hardware to buy. Give our friends at Mosey a call. They've been doing this a long time and run the most secure, most trusted online backup service. Right now, you can save 15% by using the promo code PODCAST15. Call 877-669-9776. That's 877-669-9776. Or visit moseypro.com. That's MOZYPro.com. So before tonight's show, I was planning on some different things to talk about, and I went to just view my website. So I go to miketechshow.com, which forwards to mikenation.net, and I get access denied. Not internal server error 500 or not available. I'm getting a permissions problem. It was very clear. It was reporting that I did not have access to the site. And this has become a common problem, and I have had it with GoDaddy, and I called them, It took them an hour. I was on the phone, and they said there's a permission problem that they have to fix. Now, it's nothing I've done. As a matter of fact, I can't even change the permission on the root of my hosted website because I don't even have that kind of access. That means someone in GoDaddy changed the permissions of my root directory of my website, and they had no business doing that. And this is not the first time that they've done things like this. So I ask myself and everybody in the sound of my voice, what is better? Is this it? Is GoDaddy better than what's out there? Is it better to be with the devil you know? Am I with the, you know, do I pick the lesser of two evils? Because remember, I left Brinkster because we don't even want to talk about the Brinkster problems. I mean, some of them were so bad. Now, I did go with nice stretches of Brinkster where things worked. But now, Winston in the chat recommends 1&1. I have nightmare stories that I can share with you from people who use 1&1. Winston, I know, has a positive experience, but I can share nightmares of people that I personally know that have had problems with 1&1. So what do we do here? My requirements are simple. I don't have a lot of traffic, not that much. All of my podcasts are hosted at Libsyn, so we're really just relaying links. Now, Winston's also recommending, you know, Squarespace. I would like everybody to take a moment, compose an email to me, and tell me your experiences with the company that your website is hosted with. I really want to hear from podcasters too, because I want to know, you know, what is your uptime? What are you seeing? When you call them, when they have a problem, do they respond? Now, I got to admit, the problems that I've had with GoDaddy, when I call them, although frustrating, they have fixed it. So it's not like I've went days without access. They've actually fixed the problem. So that's why if it's the devil I know and I can control it, am I better? It is clearly my experience has been better than Brinkster. I just don't know what's out there. What's good? Is there anything good? And then with your website, let me know what you're doing with it. I need to collect this data and then make a decision because I have 4 websites hosted with GoDaddy. I have the MikeNation.net, which is MikeTechShow.com. I have MHS.me. I don't talk about that a lot, but I always post when I'm appearing somewhere, when I'm doing something. And right now, it's always been just another link to the podcast. My intentions on that site are always to have more content for different things that I'm doing personally that I can put up there. I also have Tech Vets, which, by the way, will be back next week, either Tuesday or Wednesday night. And then I have MHSconsulting.net, which is my consulting website. I have 4 websites being hosted at GoDaddy. They were a sponsor in the past. I used to have very good things to say about GoDaddy, and I had a site with GoDaddy for a long time that's never had troubles. But now I seem to be having problems with just the MikeNation.net. Now, something they've told me, I am on an older server and I am not part of their 4G multiple, I guess, they spread it over multiple servers. Now, the 2 outages that I've had, that service would not have helped me, but it will give me better access that if there's a problem with someone else on the shared site on the server, it's scaled very well and it's supposedly this grid back end. I am going to migrate my website to that next week. So let's cross our fingers. They tell me that I won't have any downtime. I just won't be able to make any changes to my website for up to 72 hours. Now, most of the time during the week, I'm not making changes. I predominantly make changes on Thursday and Friday. that's about it. Whenever I'm posting up the podcast and any fresh content, they recommended that I call them on Saturday night and make this change. And I'm going to have them move me to this grid environment, and I'll report back to you on what I'm seeing. But share experience with me. Tell me what you think. Tell me the good, the bad, the ugly of web hosts that you've left in the past that you'll never go back to again. Web hosts that you like. Let me know. I will compile all this and share that with you, and I think it's going to be very valuable. Now I have another business question, and this is for a client that is looking for hosted exchange services. So we're not talking a website, we're talking hosted exchange services, and we're talking under 10 users. So it has to be exchange. They can't use Google Apps. Do you know of a service that you like over another, or if you're using one, or you know someone that's using one, that they have good things to say? All of my research for that has been coming just off the web. So I'm looking at different sites that review exchange hosted services. I've come up with a couple. I know Office 365, I'm seeing negative reviews on that, on some of the features for that. LiveOffice, let's just say about LiveOffice, they can be the last hosted server on earth, and I will do without. And Winston can personally attest to that, him and I. So if they are the only hosted exchange service ever, well, I will do without, and I'll make sure my customer does without. I have personal feedback from certain companies that I've had personal interaction with that I make sure I will never work with again. I'm looking for what you recommend, because your feedback is very, very important to me, and you know I'm going to be honest with you and tell you how I feel. And I have no qualms of throwing someone under the bus. You've seen me do it. I've did it to Comcast. I've just done it to GoDaddy tonight. And I told them I'd be doing that. They know I'm a podcaster. They've seen my website. We talked about it tonight. I said, tune in. I said, you're not going to hear good things about this. Let's see what happens. The next thing I want to talk about is small laptops and notebooks. I believe the term is ultra. We're talking systems that can be compared to the Apple MacBook Air. Now, I'm a big Apple fan. I have a MacBook Pro, the 13-inch. I love it. It is my main consulting laptop. But I do not like the MacBook Air. There's a market for that. But the market that I see for the MacBook Air are college students that need something that's the size of a notebook, that they can easily carry, that's light, can only access it via the Wi-Fi. They don't need an Ethernet connection. I have three clients that have approached me this week, and that's why I want to talk about it. They want an ultra thin, an ultra small laptop. And I have problems with it that I'm letting them know. One, they don't come with Ethernet. They are only Wi-Fi. They come standard with Windows 7 Home Premium. That's a problem, because I don't want to see them not be able to connect to their server. I'm going to put a link in the show notes for this comparing the following systems: the Asus ZenBook UX31 RSL8, the Toshiba Protege Z835P330, the Acer Aspire S3, and the Apple MacBook Air. All four of these systems are compared using PC Mag online website here, comparing all of their features. They all come with 4 gigs of memory. They're all 2.9 pounds or thereabout. One of them is a Core i3. The others are all Core i5. What do you think about this? Do you have any experience with any of these particular machines? I am leaning very seriously to the Asus, but they have to be able to get Windows 7 Professional. So when they come into the office, they're going to need a USB Ethernet dongle, and they can connect into the server and be properly connected to the domain. Remember, Windows 7 Home Premium will not allow you to do that. Certainly, you can access shares on the domain, but you cannot be announced properly to the domain. Only Windows 7 Professional and greater. My clients need Windows 7 Professional because they all have servers in their office. So I'm making sure everybody, my three clients, understand what I think are the pros and cons based on what I know, how they work with their office. Everybody's overcome with the size. They're convinced that the iPad's not good enough, which I agree. It's very difficult for the iPad to truly replace a laptop. So they need all the laptop functionality. And they need it squeezed into as small of a unit as possible and as light and as thin as possible, but full laptop functionality. With that, you have to concede a couple things. One, you're not going to have a DVD or CD drive. So installing software, you're going to have to do it via connecting via USB or connecting over Wi-Fi to the network. That could become a challenge for some people depending on what you need. The next is this Ethernet problem. Why can't they just shoehorn an Ethernet connection into this? Will it really make it that heavier? It's always been my problem with the MacBook Air. Now, certainly performance is going to be good because you have some solid state drives here for the operating system and for saving. So you're going to have some really good performance. My recommendation, because of the way I work, is go up a notch, a hair, add a half pound or a pound, and get a small laptop, but has all of the features that we're accustomed to. It has that DVD burner that's small that's built in, so if you need it. I guess I'm still looking at some of the legacy applications and things and have to have them installed. I always want Ethernet over Wi-Fi, even if I'm in a hotel. If the hotel room provides an Ethernet jack, of course I'm going to plug in. Because why would you want Wi-Fi, you know, if you can have Ethernet? Anytime I'm with someone in a home network and they want to do everything Wi-Fi, I'm like, you know, Wi-Fi, you just don't have the performance. Yes, you can engineer it and you can make it where you have it, but there's too many trade-offs with the Wi-Fi from a performance standpoint. If you can run the cable, if you're able to, run it. Trust me, you'll be happier. I'm always in favor of hardwired over the Wi-Fi. So I don't know if this stirs any debate or if you are in the same position or you have clients in the same position that are looking at small and ultra-thin laptops. Let me know what you think. Let me know if you have some personal experiences with any of them, and I'd be glad to, again, put that all together and share it with everyone. Let's get to some email. And this is from Michael. He says, "Hi, Mike. I got a computer in today that had the Zero Access Rootkit on it. This machine was running XP Pro. After cleaning the system, I got the 'this copy of Windows is not genuine' error on the screen. No problem, I thought. I will just use the COA from the side of the machine and reactivate it. But when I entered the number, I am told it was not a valid COA. I tried calling into Microsoft to activate it with no luck. I even tried using the COA off an old copy of XP Pro that I had, but still no luck. After searching the internet, I came across the Microsoft Genuine Advantage Diagnostic Tool, which I will have this link in the show notes. You'll be able to directly download the program. That told me that the system had a volume license and not an OEM or retail. My customer had purchased the computer from a former employer when they went out of business. To correct the problem so I could use the COA on the computer, I ran the Windows Product Key Update Tool." Again, another link that I'm going to have in the show notes. to change the product key to the COA on the side of the computer. After changing the key, Windows activated with no problem. I wanted to share this in case someone else comes across the same problem. Michael, thank you so much. I've actually ran into this in the past, and I think I had to do something that, you know, you can't talk about, you know, with getting a version of Windows to work. I'm glad you shared this. Two utilities that can really help you fix it when you have a legitimate product key for Windows and you want to get it to work with the Windows that's installed. Thank you very much. This is from another Michael, and he says, just thought of a subject for your show. If you're doing consulting, do you sign up for reseller agreements with vendors and resell an upgraded cost, or do you just purchase a full retail and pass the same cost to your client? Really good question. I have not taken the time to set up for resellers except for like Dell hardware, which I will resell and mark up, and I'm getting that from a distributor. There are software that I buy from companies that are official resellers, and we usually split the profit difference. I will mark it up for enough to make some money, and then they make money. So I've done that. But normally, I will buy what you would call retail. I'm buying from Newegg. I'm buying from Amazon or Monoprice or a good trusted source, but I'm getting it at an incredibly good price, and I will mark it up and sell that to clients. A lot of times, I'll use my Amazon link built into the link because I'm an affiliate and send that link to them to a client. So when they click on it and they buy it, I will get a commission, which is a great segue into, if you are buying anything from Amazon, please, please use my link. And that is amazon.mikenation.net, provided the website's up. Or go to miketechshow.com and take a look at the link on the left-hand side of the website. Click on that. It'll take you to Amazon. I will get a small commission, and it helps support the show. Thank you very much for doing that. Mike, I think I answered your question. I am a reseller for certain products, and products that I know I'm going to be doing some volume, I would definitely look into becoming an official reseller. But I don't do enough volume selling like that. So it hasn't been worth going through that, whatever effort, if it takes a lot to become a reseller. I guess it really depends on the product. I mean, there are a couple products I probably should that I'm often reselling, but I'm partnered with someone that like can provide me the backup software. And we have a great arrangement. It makes it very easy for me to purchase the software, and we're both making money. So I don't mind that. This is from Peter, and he sent this link in. Hi, Mike. Design flaws in the Wi-Fi protected setup, WPS wireless standard, can make it easier for attackers to obtain access codes for secured wireless networks by brute force. And he says, take a look at this URL, and I will have a link. It is from PC World, and they talk about this flaw, which is the WPS standard, which is this PIN-based method for this Wi-Fi protected setup. I never use that. My clients aren't subject to this flaw because I never enable that, because I've never ran into, I guess, devices that require that PIN and that require it being enabled. I always use WPA2. For my encryption, I use at least 8 characters and make sure we have a good passphrase that has, you know, an upper, lower case and a number. And then I use a very good password for the administrating password. You got to change the default password from any router or access point, because that's the simplest thing for someone to try to break in. So I make sure I have a good hardened password for the admin of the device, and then a good password for WPA2. But I thought it was important to let everybody know about this that's out there, because you should really take a moment and read this article. Now, as I mentioned this in the pre-show, the chat mentioned to me, and especially Uncle Al and everybody, I want to thank you. I did not know that VLC has a flaw right now, and it's due to a plugin. I love VLC, and I recommend this all the time. Well, VLC is VideoLAN, and the link I have is a security advisory 1108, and there is a flaw in the plugin for TiVo. So if you don't need that plugin and you're using the Windows version right now, the way to fix it is go to Program Files, go to VideoLAN directory, then go to VLC, then Plugins directory, and delete the file libty_plugin.dll. If you delete that file, VLAN will still work, and you will not be subject to that flaw. You need to do this until they release version 1.1.13. And I believe as of the moment I'm recording this podcast, that version is not out yet. But when they do have that version, download it and install it. Anybody that you know, anybody that you've recommended VLC to, make sure they know to update that to the latest version. Again, we want to be careful. The more we close up these holes, then the more we protect our systems from, you know, from all the bad people out there who's exploiting all these things. Yeah, it's a nightmare. Could you imagine? I mean, the typical user doesn't have a prayer for all these security flaws. And that's why it's up to us to stay on top of this and then make sure our clients, our friends, our family, coworkers are secure and they've gotten all the updates, the patches, and the fixes of everything that's required to keep their systems safe. And that's our job. That is it for tonight's show. I hope that you enjoyed the show. Hope you got something out of it. We have some great links that are going to be part of the show notes. And I want to thank you for downloading and listening to the show and staying subscribed. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. And again, Happy New Year to everybody. And I will talk to you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.